Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Auction Proceeds CCWG Charter Drafting Team, taking place on Thursday, the 26th of May, 2016. On the call today, we have Alan Greenberg, Russ Mundy, Lyman Chapman, and Sylvia Cadena. The board liaisons on the call today are Erica Mann and Asha Hemrajani. I have listed apologies from Jonathan Robinson and David Tate. From staff, we have Samantha Eisner, Marika Konings, Julie Hedlund, Vivian Koningsfield, Lauren Allison, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the meeting. We have a pretty large agenda today, and our target at this point is to try to have a draft charter ready so that it can be discussed in Helsinki. Marika, are we still operating on the rule that we have to have submitted it a certain number of weeks before?
This is Marika. Actually, that's a really good question. I mean, it's I think the for the normal ICA meetings, it's 15 days. For this, there actually hasn't been a specific communication as we are running in a different format. But I think, as always, you know, the earlier the better.
So 15, that's 15 calendar days or working days?
Yes, I believe it's 15 calendar days.
All right, so that means the discussion of auction, that means the meeting starts on the 27th. So in theory, we have to have this out and mailed by the 12th. Of June at the worst. In practice, if we get it out late, I don't think they're going to cancel our session, but that's certainly not something we should aim at. So that means we have a limited number of meetings to get something close enough that we feel comfortable saying it's a draft and having having discussions. So that certainly is our target. The first item on the agenda is principles derived from the review of public comments, and according to Marika, we're going to finalize these principles today and discuss how they're going to the charter. And who is taking us through that part of the agenda? Is that Marika or is that Russ and Erica? I see Marika's hand up.
Yeah, this is Marika. We did go through these last time around, and the action item for the drafting team was to review these and indicate whether there were any others that needed to be added, and as well to think about how these should be integrated into the charter. I know there was as well a specific action item, and that's the second bullet point under this item in relation to the diversity. And I think, I believe it was Asha who volunteered to draft some language on that. I don't know if that has already happened. And I know that in the draft charter that was circulated, there are a number of areas where I think that the aspect of diversity or diversity and representation is mentioned, so it may also be worth reviewing that. But I think the main question indeed for today is there anything else that needs to be added to these principles, and then indeed discuss how are these to be translated into the draft charter, or is the draft charter as currently written, does it already cover these elements sufficiently?
Yeah, I see two hands up, and I have a put myself in the queue as well. Erica?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can.
Wonderful. So I think Marika outlined the discussion we had last time on the goals we set ourselves for this call. So what Russ, and please correct me if I report this wrongly, but I think what we said last time, we weren't fully certain if the guiding principles should be incorporated directly into the charter or if they should be annexed. I thought about it a little bit, and I thought if you look at it from a more holistic point of view, probably it would be better to incorporate them But I don't have an absolute preference, but I would probably prefer to have them incorporated. That's it, Alan. Back to you.
Thank you very much, Russ.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you. Now I have my mute off. I agree with Erica. Having given it a bit more thought, I think that having them directly in the charter is good, including the references to some of the, especially the mission statement of values, because of the change, you know, the not quite finished state yet with the CCWG work in particular.
Yeah, Russ, you're fading out, I'm afraid.
Oh, I am sorry. Is this any better? 1, 2, 3.
Slightly better for me. I can.
Okay.
If no one else is complaining, it may just be me.
Okay, good. Thank you, Alan. So I think that the direct incorporation is good for most of the things. I do have to apologize. I had not had an opportunity to go back and review the session notes from ICANN 52 to see if there was anything in there yet that needed to be looked at. I will try to do that, but I'd ask others to also try to review that session to see if there was any other principles that we think should be included in the charter from that earlier session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I put myself in the queue. Three of them, transparency, accountability, and conflict of interest. Well, transparency and accountability, I think, are implicitly there because of how we establish and you know, all the meetings are open. We publish everything. So I'm not sure we need to explicitly use those terms, but they're implied by some of the other requirements we have. Conflict of interest, in this particular case, I think we clearly have to mention explicitly. And the third one, lean and effective, I'm not sure we can have lean and effective at the same time as we use the normal ways of populating CCWGs. So I think when we get to the charter, we need to talk about that one, because if that is indeed a principle, then I think we may have an interesting conflict. So I'll go ahead with next is Asha. And I see Sylvia said she's already shared her comments about this. Perhaps you can either put them into the chat or come and speak to make sure that we haven't forgotten what they are, because I must admit I don't recall what you said. Asha, next.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. So just to address what Sylvia was going to, what Sylvia is talking about, she's already shared some comments on the legal document from SAM, but she's also shared with me her input on the diversity, because the both of us are working on it together, and I have sent her my comments back in my draft on that as well. And so the two of us need a little bit more time, so we'll be working on that, and hopefully we should have something done by the next meeting. On the guiding principles, I wanted to agree with what referring back to what Erica mentioned. From my own personal perspective, I think that I have a strong preference for the guiding principles being incorporated into the body of the charter, because I think they're so important. I can see what you're leaning towards, or what you're referring to rather, Alan, when you talked about the guiding principle lean and effective. This cluster of principles, rather, I can understand where the challenge might be. So I think it's worthwhile to spend the time to actually do this, to work, to flesh out the clusters of principles, and then to really work on them, because I feel that will actually set the tone for the rest of the charter. So that's my personal preference for having them in the body of the charter. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I see Erica's and Ash's hands up, but I think those are all old ones. So where do we stand at this point? There seems to be agreement that the principles should be explicitly referenced in the charter. I've noted that at least one of them may have, we may have some difficulty doing that, and diversity is still being worked on, and we will have that for the next meeting, I'm presuming. Russ, I see your hand up. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. I wanted to just make a quick comment about the lean and effective principle. And what I believe was the dominant piece in the public comment was pointed towards the operation of the eventual dollar distribution process, as opposed to a lean and efficient operation of the CCWG process to get us to where we have financial distribution process. I don't know if that difference makes sense or if it's useful, but I think that's what I got anyway out of the public comments.
Thank you. We seem to have an open microphone somewhere. Yes, if that was referring to the principles of the final process, which we've now determined is not the CCWG, then I have no problem with those at all. And if the intent was all of those are principles that should be incorporated into the final process, then I completely agree they should all be explicitly mentioned as requirements for the CCWG to ensure are in its final outwork product. Erica? Or is that an old hand?
No, it's a new one.
Go ahead.
Just to confirm what Russ said, it related to the disbursement of the money, and I think it's right to have this included. I had a chat today with Xavier just to check again with him that the way the disbursement can be done in the future and how it might relate to existing financial and, in particular, audit procedures. It will be very important to stick as closely as possible to established procedures. So I think if we could connect the lean and effective to maybe the accountability language, then maybe we can we are probably close what we sufficiently close what the writers of the comment meant, and the way we as a team can incorporate it into the charter. That's the way I would see it, Alan. I'm not sure if you would agree to this.
It's Alan. I'm sorry for leading us all astray. I took these as principles for the CCWG, not the eventual process that the CCWG comes out with. So I apologize for leading us astray and going into an area that wasn't relevant. I agree completely as requirements for the final process, all of them need to be there, and I think we need to specify to the CCWG that they can't omit them. So I don't think there's any question
Perfect.
There.
Perfect. Thank you.
And we have an open microphone somewhere if staff can try to find it, and it seems to be gone. Is there anything further we need to say on this? So we have four principles which are clear. One, diversity, someone is working on, and the mission statement and values could be included, but these principles of disbursement, I'm not quite sure what we mean by principles of disbursement. I would have thought that's going to be one of the major work products of the CCWG, so I would certainly say that it has to be I'm not sure we want to call them principles, but the process to be used is indeed, I think, the major work product of the CCWG. So I'm not sure how they can avoid talking about it, but I'm not sure what words we put into to make that clear. Lauren, go ahead.
Hi, Alan. Thanks. Just in relation to the ICANN 52 session notes of principles, that should actually read ICANN 53, and that was the Buenos Aires session. There were several comments in the public comments that said that they agreed with the principles that were laid out at those. I have them and can type them into the chat if that would be useful.
It certainly can't hurt if you can do that easily. Asha?
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, thanks, Ellen. Regarding the principles for disbursement, you raise a valid point. On the diversity part that I'm putting together with Sylvia's help, is from my perspective, I've divided the diversity into two buckets, if you will. One is on the diversity of the members / participants / observers of the CCWG, and the other aspect of the diversity is the diversity of the applicants who apply for the funds. And I was actually thinking about these words, in fact, when I was drafting that, the principle for disbursement, as in one of the principles for disbursement would be that we ensure that there's as broad a spectrum of applicants as possible, and there is not, you know, it's not focused on or concentrated only on one type of applicant or one or applicant from one country or one region and so on. So I was just mentioning this because I'm not sure if principle for disbursement is the right phrase, but this was just an example of where principle for disbursement could be a correct way of describing it. For example, as in one of the principles of disbursement would be that we ensure diversity of the applicants. Your thoughts on that?
We have Erica next.
Good morning.
Colleagues, there was an interesting point in the discussion to Davis Xavier, which I want to mention here because it might be relevant for what we want to recommend. So he said, and keep in mind he wasn't involved in all of our discussions, but he was always receiving information either from Masha, myself, or from Samantha and from the team. So he said something interesting. He said what he thinks will have to be done, that the disbursement of the fund, the current ICANN, so his department, because they are overseeing the money, will probably still have to verify. Now, I said to him that we haven't discussed this year what this would mean, and I asked him to have, based on the document he and Samantha said to us already, you remember, I think it was a two-page document. Maybe, Lauren, maybe you can resend it again. So that he would have to clarify with auditors what this would mean, actually. I'm just mentioning this here because I think we should have him maybe on our next call so that he has time to look into this and can give us the advice after he had time to consult with the audit firm and with the internal team, because I'm not sure how we could incorporate this, because if we would incorporate this in the charter, it would have to be a kind of, I don't know, financial oversight or kind of chapter or something like this. But, Ellen, I'm just mentioning this here so that we can put this onto our to-do list.
Yeah, thank you. Erica, I'm starting to feel we should be deferring the details of this discussion till we actually start working on the charter, because we're going to end up having the same discussion as we start looking at the words, making sure that we're incorporating it in a proper way. In that particular case, I know I made a comment on the draft charter that I disagreed with what Xavier was saying, because I don't think that is necessarily the only way that ICANN can fulfill its duty. So I'm not sure we want to be that prescriptive, but I think that's best deferred until we actually talk about the charter itself. Sylvia, you're next.
Thank you, Alan. I shared my comments on the mailing list about the principles and also about how I understand the diversity concept. And I think it would be really useful if contributions that are made on the mailing list are also taken into consideration, because if someone is not able to participate on a conference call, then the comments on the mailing list are not part of the next conversation, or if I'm not attending the key making a big effort to make those comments and participate. If they are not taken into consideration, I don't see the point. So I would really appreciate it if the information on the mailing list is taken into consideration for to follow up conversation. And on the issues around the disbursement of principals and discussing with the financial department, I think we are probably jumping ahead a lot, and it is not necessarily that the working group will actually decide that ICANN itself would make disbursements. They might actually decide to establish a different mechanism, and I don't think that we need to give too much ammunition for leaning over, I mean, for the drafting team to lean over and say, oh, this is the way it should go. So the working group should have the principles to work on how the funds will be distributed or managed or what, and it doesn't necessarily mean to already start discussing how the disbursement is done, because depending on the mechanisms chosen, everyone has different due diligence processes and legal processes to incorporate. So starting discussing at the drafting team, those details actually taint the discussion in terms of principles and the framework for the actual working group to work on. So I think it is important that we focus on the framework that we want the working group to work on and make sure that those considerations are taken into account and not jump too much ahead to make recommendations in the expert advice. I don't think so. From the financial department, that I can thank you.
Thank you, Sylvia. I think you're agreeing with what I said, that Xavier was being very prescriptive as to how ICANN should make sure the money is being spent according to the rules, as opposed to simply saying the drafting the CCWG must ensure that it that happen without specifying necessarily the process by which ICANN will use to do that. And I see Erica agreed with in the chat. I don't think we have any new hands at this point. I would like to suggest that we go on to the next item and make sure that as we start going over the charter, we are using it as a checklist to make sure that we're addressing the issues that we said we thought needed to be incorporated. If there's no objection, then the next item is review the draft text on diversity. We don't have this week. And the next item is item number 3 on the fiduciary and legal constraints. And the first item on the agenda is update from Sam on modifications to the briefing note based on design team input. Sam? Is Sam with us?
This is Terry.
This is Sam coming off of mute. Sorry about that. So the modifications to the briefing note have been a bit delayed due to the bylaws drafting work, but some on this call know that bylaws have gone back out, so we're going to be able to have this document turned for you within the next week so that it can be discussed further. I'm sorry for the delay. We've just had many other things going on. So we'll get it returned with the inputs that have been received.
Thank you, Sam. I can't imagine what else you might be busy with right now. That's a joke related to bylaws, and he was not quite aware.
Just a few things. Thank you.
The next item then is Erica Mann will come back and tell us what the board thinks about what our constraints are and what extent we have flexibility to use the funds. Erica?
So we haven't discussed it at the retreat. We had such a full agenda. We had bits and pieces of the discussions, but they didn't really focus on the auction proceed process, but we have it on our agenda in Helsinki. So Asha and I and the team, the sub-team, is working on preparing a background information document for the board, and then we will have an exchange in Helsinki. We already opened an informal exchange with Steve on this topic, who is very keen in following what we are doing and is very much interested in the topic himself. So I have to apologize. We have to we had to delay this to Helsinki. Is this okay?
Well, it's going to make it rather difficult for us to have a draft charter, because this is one of the really key sections that will guide the CCWG and how much flexibility it has. So I guess we'll have to put some bracketed language in and get input from the group at the same time as the board is deliberating.
You know,
will the board likely have had this discussion before the public meeting?
Yes. We are trying to get this in as early as possible.
Then,
and what I would recommend is exactly proceed as you just recommended. And Asha and I, we can try to have, at least with a core team, maybe an informal exchange with the board, with the core team, before Helsinki, so that we have a feeling where the board might tend to go. And then we can fine-tune, maybe, if we sense some risk, how the board might respond, we can fine-tune maybe some of the language we have selected and chosen. Will this work?
I guess it's going to have to. Clearly, if the board decides we should have some flexibility and we don't need to go by the letter of the mission, then we have a conflict between the board and what our current legal advice is. So that will obviously have to be resolved before we can put anything in a final mission. So the extent that we can get a heads up at least a few days before the meeting to put together some slides or something like that to make sure that when we're asking for input from the community, they have some idea of what the range of possible inputs are. I think that's going to be really essential. So the earlier you can get us anything, even if it's only an informal feel, you know, sense of the board, but factoring in, of course, the legal advice, which the board is bound to consider, I think is going to be really essential.
Okay. We have a call coming
up. Go ahead, Erica.
We will get this done, Alan. We will get something to this team before Helsinki around the core topics. We will get this done so that we have a feeling.
Okay. Thank you very much, Erica. Sylvia? Sylvia's hand is now down. Then we'll go to Asha.
Yeah, thank you, Ellen. So I'm sorry I missed part of what that little discussion you were having earlier about getting the slides done on time. Can you summarize that, Ellen?
Yes, certainly. One of the tasks that we were hoping to have a report on from this meeting was a discussion that didn't happen in Amsterdam in the board on how much flexibility we should have, or the CCWG and the final mechanism should have in dispersing funds. The legal advice we have so far, the legal note, says we have to be very strict in terms of only things that adhere to the ICANN mission can be funded. Whereas there was a question of can we in fact be broader than that and be in line with what the message was in the applicant guidebook, which was not a legal statement, but nevertheless said projects of value to the internet community in general or something like that. So the question is, can we in fact be wider than the current legal document implies we can? And that's an important part of the guidance we have to give the CCWG. And at this point, we will not have it in time to publish the draft charter. So we were looking at ways that we can get some information at least a day or two ahead of time to make sure that when we have the public meeting, we can provide them with a little bit more insight than we have today.
Yes, understood. Okay.
Marika, go ahead.
This is Marika, and I think that probably already takes us into the next item as well, because I think that the whole idea of having a draft on the table will hopefully assist in the effort of actually indeed identifying which are sections where...
Have we lost Marika?
Yep. Suddenly disappeared.
There is no part of the world immune from line drops.
Certainly not Costa Rica.
And we're dialing back out to her.
And if we can disconnect the old line. Done. We'll give Marika a moment to come back on.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Connecting my Adobe because the phone, I don't know. They just dialed me, but I couldn't hear anything, so I'll try it this way.
And you start from the beginning, Marika.
Yes. So as I was saying, I think this may already take us into the next action item, but the whole idea about the draft charter is as well that the drafting team, either individual members or through the board liaisons, is able to identify within the charter which are specific areas where either further community discussion is needed or we're waiting for input. So hopefully that will aid the group in narrowing down which are the specific items that you believe need to be specifically discussed with the community in Helsinki. So hopefully as well that draft will help Erica as well as Asha to take that back to the board and get at least some indications indeed on which areas you may think are problematic as currently written or may need more work, or where you believe that as it's written, it accurately reflects what has been spelled out in the legal and fiduciary memo. And I think similarly, hopefully Sam will have some time as well to review what is currently in there to see if that aligns with what is in the memo. What is currently in there is what I've taken basically from, I think, the short note that she had already shared, but as that is being updated, it will be important as well to specifically reflect what the updated memo is going to say and that aligns, the two pieces align.
Yep. Thank you, Marika. I'll note that the CCWG is going to have to do work on this. Specifically, if the board comes to an agreement with our legal advisors that in fact we do have more flexibility than just for the mission, that doesn't require the CCWG to have rules with more flexibility. The CCWG itself could decide to narrow that and only fund projects that are closely allied to the mission. But of course, if the board decision is the other way, then it doesn't have the flexibility of widening it. So clearly, if the board decides that it is reasonable to consider having more flexibility, the working group still has a lot of work to do to actually make the decision of where to put the final results. Shall we go ahead with the next item then on the charter? I haven't had a chance to look at email in the last 14 or 16 hours. Do we have input from? I know I put some comments out. Do we have input from anyone else on the charter itself yet? Marika, or anyone who's read the mailing list? Have we lost Marika again?
I didn't. No, I think I'm here.
have time to unmute. Instead of going to the phone, I had to go to the computer. And no, I didn't see any other comments come in, as far as I know. I do note, and I just pulled up the version that you sent me, your comments are not visible. So I'm going to produce an updated version so we can at least use the one that that you marked up. If you give me
okay.
1 second, I'll do that.
Or I can talk about them as we come to each point if you wish, if I pull them up.
Yeah, it's probably helpful to see them on the screen. We shouldn't
okay. We'll give you a moment. Even though it's a long agenda, we actually do have, we seem to be making good progress. This is a 90-minute meeting, I believe, correct?
And Alan, this is Terry. We had it scheduled for an hour.
Oh.
If everybody's time allows, we are able to go longer, though.
I thought it was an hour and a half in my agenda, but maybe
no, it's 1 hour.
Then we're not making that good time. Yeah, it was whoever put it into my agenda put it in as 90 minutes.
So this should work better. You should see now your comments in this version
okay.
up on the screen.
Thank you very much. All right. I think let's go through it section by section. And if I'm assuming other people have at least had a chance to scan this, if not make comments. If not, then this may be a futile exercise. But let's work on that assumption. I had no comments on the problem statement. We're in section number 2 in the problem statement. I don't know if anyone else would like to raise anything. Give people a moment to raise hands if necessary. Goals and objectives. Nothing? All right. Now into the scope. The first item is the one on essentially verification, and it says, while noting that ICANN will maintain ultimate responsibility for confirmation of all disbursements. I found that rather prescriptive, and if ICANN decides, if the CCWG decides and the board decides, for instance, to set up a foundation, then I would assume ICANN will not be verifying the actual disbursement, but will rely on the contracts it sends, the terms and conditions of the providing of the funds to the foundation, and presumably audits, at least on a test basis, but would not actually go in and inspect the books and do the work itself. So I find this very prescriptive and not necessarily the way it would be done. I see Erica's hand. Go ahead.
I think, Alan, you're right. This was my question to Xavier as well. I think it depends on the structure. So if it is going to be a fund, and then the fund will have probably the responsibility and will be audited separately. But there might be different structures. So I think this is a kind of, you know, cautious approach, which is probably good to select right now because we have no idea about the future structure. So I think this is a point we will have to review when we know the structure. Right now, we can only put into the charter the principles, which will be independently, however the structure will look like in the future, will definitely have to guide the process. So it will guide an independent fund, but it will guide a different structure as well. Because for judiciary, and there's one other issue which I think Xavier still needs to clarify to us. I think there's an understanding that even if it will be in fund, there might be still not clarified responsibility with the current ICANN structure. Now, if this is correct, then the methodology between the current structure and its responsibility and the fund will have to be clarified as well. So my advice would be to review this and only select the guiding, kind of guiding principles again, which will have, which will override, you know, whatever kind of structure will be selected in the future.
Thank you. Sam?
Thanks, Alan. I agree with much of what Erica said, and I think that there are a lot of details here that are going to depend on what the ultimate structure becomes and the vehicle that's used for the disbursement. No matter what, at the first level of disbursement, right, so if ICANN is making, based on the CCWG recommendations, 300 different disbursements to individual entities or one large disbursement to a fund or foundation, at the very minimum, ICANN bears responsibility for that initial disbursement. If it were to go to someplace like a fund or a foundation or something, then the issue becomes what are the governance requirements that ICANN may maintain or might have to maintain to make sure that that fund lives up to the responsibilities, as you mentioned, that could be through a contract or could be through other means. And that might be where we go to auditing requirements or other, you know, types of participation and governance activities. But I think that the word of all disbursements, we have to consider this as disbursements that are made by ICANN in the first instance, and then it triggers the issue of governance over what happens elsewhere. And so I think that there might be a little bit more read into the statement than is necessary, but it brings up all the different questions, so we just have to figure out the right wording to use in this charter so that we don't raise the same level of concern that you've raised.
Yeah, thank you, Sam. My second point in my comment was I think this should be a separate bullet point in any case. But I would assume, since we don't know what the CCWG is going to recommend in terms of how to structure this, I would think that what our instruction, the design team's and the charter's instruction to the CCWG is, it must ensure that the ultimate disbursement of the funds meets or satisfies the whatever restrictions are put on the use of funds by ICANN. So that includes the first disbursement to a foundation, if there is one, but it also includes the ones downstream. So I think that's the kind of way we want to word it, to simply say the CCWG must consider it, regardless of what methodology it uses for recommends for disbursement of the funds. Erica?
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you and Sam. That's a good way of looking at it and how we want to define the corridor of principles which will guide the disbursement. This will be, for example, just comes to my mind, we don't want to lose the tax status. So whatever, you know, however the disbursement will be done in the future, we have to guarantee. We have to find a way to guarantee that this will be, you know, will be not touched on. And so there are other principles as well which we have to include. Yeah, I think that's a good way of looking into it.
Okay, thank you. Any more comments on this point? Seeing none, the next one is the CCWG should seek inputs on the process and disbursements and disbursement limitations that will support ICANN's tax income status. Again, I think that is one that we are trying to do ourselves, and I'm not sure we're going to be asking the CCWG to do that again, but I'm not sure about that. I didn't make a comment on it explicitly, but reading it now, are we really going to give the CCWG that flexibility? certainly we can leave it in today, but I suspected we are in fact going to restrict the CCWG by the time they are formed. Sam?
Yeah, I think that this, from the way I understand this point, I think we could make it better formed that they must continue to observe the limitations that might be there in order to preserve the tax exempt status and seek guidance if necessary, and not put on them the full obligation of continuing to seek inputs, but it's a preserve and seek information when necessary type of principle.
Okay, thank you. Erica? Oh, sorry, you put your hand down.
Yeah, I can keep it short. Yeah, I think you're right. And I think even in the, if I remember this right, in many discussions we had in the CCWG which touched on this issue, there was never somebody raising the point that we don't want to keep the current tax status. So I think it is a kind of basic element which we want to preserve. And I think you're right. We should mention this already.
Okay. Thank you. I mean, clearly, the board is not going to exercise its duty to approve recommendations which would allow someone to challenge ICANN's tax status. So it's simply prudent for the CCWG to make rational recommendations from that context. But yes, I think we should include it. The next item is a small one, but it shows up throughout. I only made one comment. The wording in the recommendation as written is the CCWG should include limitations on the use of funds to campaign for candidates for public office or attempt to influence legislation. Should is a word that's normally used saying they have some discretion. I would have thought this and a number of the others should be musts. But this may be a style issue in how we write our charters. So I'm going to either defer to Marika or ask her to comment. I would not think this is an item the CCWG has any discretion over whatsoever. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to note that this actually came from the document that Sam shared with the group. So she's probably in a better position to comment on it.
Thank you. Sam, do you want to comment or you leave it up to us to pick the right word?
We can discuss what the right word should be. I would have an obligation turning it into a more restrictive word, but I leave it up to the group. I think that the principle itself is understood.
Okay, thank you. The next item is CCWG should maintain high standards of conflict of interest practices, including the adherence of a conflict of interest policy and maintaining up-to-date statements of interest. I have no problems with that whatsoever. Sylvia, go ahead.
Thanks, Alan. Sylvia here. I just wanted to add a comment about the previous one. Sorry, Alan. Probably my hand showed up later.
About the
we commented before that the funds for campaigns and candidates and stuff was also to be clear that was not only in the U.S.
So
that funds for any. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I was just saying that on the comment about include limitation on uses fund for campaigns for candidates for public office, we discussed in the previous conference call, and I also reinforced that on the mailing list, that it's important to clarify that it's not only for the U.S. elections, but also elsewhere.
It's certainly true. I didn't read anything into this that would imply it's only for U.S. Elections or candidates for office, but I have no problem specifying, that it's wider than the U.S. I just never would have imagined it would only be the U.S. The only time that I thought we had to worry about the U.S. explicitly was when we made reference to the formal tax code in the U.S., and the terms under which ICANN has tax-exempt status. And that one, certainly, we want to make clear it's not just the U.S. But this one, I didn't think there was a need to explicitly widen it. I have no problem if we want to, but I guess I didn't read into it that it could possibly imply that it wasn't worldwide.
Well, Alan, if you don't mind me clarifying, I think that is important because if some of the principles, for example, or how the working group defines those allocations for funding are around issues that relate, for example, with openness of the internet that might be construed differently in different places, it can be pursued or perceived more as attempts to, challenge political processes or doing lobbying advocacy that might get into a different, very different perception. And that is particularly relevant in the Asia-Pacific region. So I think it will be good to make it clear that it applies globally. Is that okay? If you think it's not necessary or if there isn't any other place in the charter where we can say that this applies geographically or something like that, more generically, that would be good. Whatever you think is more appropriate.
That's an interesting comment. I hadn't thought of it, that if someone applies for funds to pursue freedom of speech, that could be viewed as trying to influence legislation or things like that. Marika, do you need any more guidance as to what to put there, or do you feel comfortable that you can somehow wordsmith this? Marika says she's good. All right. Next item on the draft is maintain high standards of conflict of interest, and I don't think there were any hands on that one. I didn't have any explicit comments on it. The last one on the first page is the CCWG should require the administration of disbursement process necessary oversight will be funded by the auction proceeds. I certainly have no problem with that. We're not asking ICANN to fund the process, but the question I had is, do we want to set limits on how much overhead can be allocated, or do we simply want to say they have to keep it lean and mean? Asha, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Alan. I'm in two minds about this. I'm actually, because I've worked on many nonprofits before, and the nonprofits that I've worked on, we had very strict rules as to what percentage of our funds that we collected from the public could be used for overhead. So in some of the nonprofits I worked on, there was a very strict guideline of 5%. To 10%. Some of them was 5, some of them are 10. And I've actually done some research on this when we first started talking about the auction fund disbursement, and looked at there is a website now, I cannot recall what it's called, but it contains information of all the nonprofits in the United States, and they actually talk about best practices. And the figure of 5% seems to consistently come up. So I'm in two minds. On one hand, I think it may be possible or feasible for the DT to say, that 5% would be the limit. On the other hand, the DT can say, well, as long as you follow the lean and mean, or rather the lean and effective principle, then the CCWG themselves determine what that percentage of overhead, maximum percentage of overhead should be. However, if we choose the second option, I'd be inclined to add some text along the lines of, if the CCWG chooses, that's fine. However, we as in the charter, we could mention something about you know, using industry standard best practice as a guideline and not just on some arbitrary figure, but rather being looking at what the other nonprofits are doing in terms of what the maximum threshold is for overhead, administrative overhead, and trying to stick with that.
Thank you.
What does everyone think?
Thank you, Asha. I would suggest that putting an absolute number in is not our business, that the CCWG has to do its homework and decide whether there's a number or simply a more generic statement. I'll turn the call over to Sam, but I'll note we're out of time and we still do have to have some housekeeping items that we have to look at. So, Sam?
Thanks, Alan. Quickly, I agree with you that no numbers should be put in here on this. I think one of the items that came out of the note that Zavi and I had circulated earlier was that the amount of overhead actually could be different depending on the robustness of the process that's needed and the choices that are made in the selection. So we could consider even including in here a note for the CCWG itself to balance the amount of fees that might be necessary to maintain their recommendations as part of how they evaluate making those, and then also to consider industry standard and everything when they move forward.
Yeah.
So I agree.
Yes.
We shouldn't put a number in because we just don't know what's needed yet.
That's good. Thank you very much.
Alan, can I quickly respond to that?
Yes, please.
Yes, so I'm okay with that. Like I said, I'm in two minds. I'm okay with the second option, which is where we don't put the figure, but I'd like to add in that industry standard requirement in there so that there is some study done, there is some due diligence and some effort made into finding out what the industry standard is and then trying to reach that goal as far as possible. Thanks.
Thank you, Asha. I think that means you're going to have to volunteer for the CCWG.
Happy to do so, but I'm not sure if I can as a board member. But I'm happy to put some words around that.
Yes, you can. There's a provision to come in the charter that allows that. Sylvia, one last word, and then we'll go on to housekeeping. Cannot hear you, Sylvia. We seem to have lost Sylvia, and she did put a comment in the chat. Overhead will be different depending on the due diligence review monitoring.
Sorry. I'm here. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Sorry, Alan. What I was saying is that on the comments that I shared on the mailing list, I made a differentiation between the terms that we are using. We keep referring to disbursement process. That's when the confusion starts about the CCWG thinking that they are a selection committee and making decisions about who gets how and what. So I think it's important that we probably seek a little bit of advice if what the right word is. I think it would be allocation of fee, a proportion or something like that, but it would be better to review that so that there's less room for confusion. And on the overhead side of, I add a comment on the chat about that it depends on the number of allocations that the ICANN will do as an organization, and it will depend on how many things ICANN will manage directly. So, for example, if ICANN decides to do one big funding allocation to one fund, let's say, that will manage the whole lot, or to do three different ones depending on whatever decisions, the due diligence process, the review, the monitoring, the audit will change. So it will be very different. It could be down at 1% if it is a single one transaction. It could be up to 30% if ICANN goes to more granular. There are universities that go even up and manage funds for up to 60%. So it is very different, and it depends on the due diligence process and exactly how much you want to get back in terms of reporting and tools to share with the community and understanding how the money is actually being used. So it's not a decision to be taken lightly, and it's very difficult to set up a percentage without exactly how the allocation or a proportion of the funds will look like. Thank you.
Thank you, Sylvia. Marika, I'm going to turn it over to you to talk about the housekeeping items of both Helsinki and future meetings, which unfortunately we do have to briefly consider here.
Yes, thank you, Alan. And just for everyone's information, I did add another action item that hopefully you're all able to review the draft charter ahead of the next meeting and share any comments or proposed edits that you may have in a similar way as Alan has done. On the Helsinki meeting, this topic has now been upgraded to a cross-community topic session, which is scheduled for Tuesday, the 28th of June, from 3:15 to 4:45 local time. I've worked with Alan and Jonathan to get a description of the session, and I think, as you all know, that the objective is to have a draft charter ready and available for discussion during that meeting, so that will be the focus. As we mentioned before, possibly we'll be able to pull out some specific questions to guide that conversation or make it a more open kind of a forum where anyone can raise whatever they want to talk about. But probably closer to the time, we'll get a better idea of how we can best structure that discussion and how to organize it. But at least for now, it's on the agenda and a description has been submitted. So hopefully we're good on that one. And then in relation to the meetings going forward, Jonathan and Alan have suggested a couple of modifications to the original schedule we had due to their availability. So the proposal is now to have the next meeting next week, 2nd of June, at 2100 UTC. If that is a difficult time for everyone, there is a possibility to consider the 3rd of June, possibly. So if possible, can you maybe put some green ticks or red ticks in the AC room, so we at least have an indication whether that time works for those of you that are on this call. And of course, we'll also send out a notice to the group. That would basically mean no meeting on the 9th of June, and then with the following meeting scheduled, 16th of June at 1300 UTC and the 23rd of June at 2000 UTC, if required, if they haven't finalized work by then. On that note as well, for the 2100 UTC meetings, I'll probably reach out to Asha and Sylvia, which I think are particularly affected by that time, to see, as I know you're both doing a lot of travel, to see whether that is still suitable for you or whether we should even consider changing the time. But that's where I work.
Can you say that again? Sorry, can you say that again? What time was it?
2nd of June at 2000 UTC is what's currently proposed for the next meeting.
Oh, no, that's not possible. That's 4 a.m. for me.
So maybe I can suggest that we then do a doodle poll for the 2nd of June or 3rd of June to see if we can find a time that works for most, although I am conscious that doing a doodle poll usually caters to those that are based in the U.S. and Europe, so like Sylvia indicates that 7 a.m. and does work for her. So I think we just need to take this back to the leadership team. If maybe others can indicate whether 2nd of June at 2100 UTC, if that works.
Did you say 2000 or 2100?
2100.
Yeah.
Oh, 2100 is our normal time.
Yes, correct.
Oh, I thought you said 2000. Okay.
20.
Well, I would.
Go ahead.
Sorry,
Asha.
Go ahead, Alan.
No, go ahead, Asha.
Yeah, 2100 is our normal time, which is 5 a.m. for me. I don't prefer it. So, if you can do a doodle poll, that would be great. If not, I can live with 2100. But I thought you said 2000.
Sorry about that. Can others maybe as well indicate using your green tick marks whether that works?
avoid having to do those.
I won't try to put a tick mark, but for me, I will just about be boarding a plane at that point, depending on exactly which hour we pick and how early the plane boards. So I may or may not be able to make that meeting. Probably would not.
Can I ask if it's possible for the same time as right now? That means we're 1300 UTC.
Yes, but I think that is a really bad time for Sylvia. So I think that's why we're rotating partly around the 1300 and 2100 UTC.
Okay. May I suggest, since we're way over time, that we need to try to find a time, and some of us may not be there. I think that's reality. I'm somewhat troubled that that's our last meeting before the official deadline for submitting something, and I see no way of us having a draft charter out of one more meeting. Are we willing to accept that, or do we really need to schedule an extra meeting over and above what Jonathan and I had tentatively accepted? I will note I'll be traveling for the next about 12 days after June 1st. So whether I'll be able to make any of those meetings is going to depend on the detailed timing and how good my connectivity is.
Yeah, and this is Marika. So let me maybe take that back then to Jonathan as he will be chairing to see what his availability is for the week of the 9th of June. I think he indicated, or one of the reasons we're changing is that at least on the 9th of June he's not available. So maybe he has other dates during that week. And Sylvia notes as well, maybe we can all agree to try and work on this on the mailing list and be able to make progress on the calls. And it looks like Sylvia has agreed that 1300 UTC would work for her as well. And I presume, Alan, that would work better for you as well, as it's a few hours earlier. And I'll double check as well to make sure that works with Jonathan as well. And hopefully we can then settle on 1300 UTC for the 2nd of June.
It may not work for me for other reasons, but I will.
Okay.
If I have to miss it, I'll make sure my comments are sent in ahead of time, and I'll trust they will be considered.
Okay. Yeah, I need to confirm that at least Jonathan is available to chair.
Any other comments before we adjourn? Thank you all. And Marika, in terms of future meetings, maybe we do want to consider hour-and-a-half meetings. I noticed we said for the 16th we were talking about 90 or 120 minutes, but perhaps the earlier ones as well. Given that, I'll leave it up to you, and thank you all for participating. We've made some progress, and I guess we're going to have to do a little bit of running to get closer to something that we'll have to talk about in Helsinki. Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Bye, Alan. Thank you. Well done.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Operator Angela, if you could please disconnect all remaining lines, and have a wonderful rest of your day.